Well, good weekday evening. Today is Thursday, March 21st. And you are tuned in to the weekly edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I'm your host, Brother Alan Weir. For this brief period of time, in comparison to eternity, when we come together in prayer, supplication, intercession, and petition on behalf of those of us who have unsaved, wayward, and backslidden sons and daughters. Every week at the same time, at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, although I'm sure it's different times at different locations throughout the country. Maybe some people are tuned in live, perhaps. We come together for in mutual encouragement, mutual edification, devotional Bible reading, but most of all, we come before the throne of grace and pray, intercede, and enter prayer warfare for our wayward and backslidden sons and daughters. I got saved back in 1976, and I was 16 years old when I came to Christ. I am 63 right now. And I myself, this ministry was born just about 2 years ago out of my own burden for my son and daughter, my adult son and my adult daughter. And I had been praying for their salvation. The Lord laid it upon my heart as I spoke to more and more people who would share with me, yes, my son and daughter, my children are unsaved too, and we're burdened for them to come to Christ. And so the Lord laid it upon my heart to begin this ministry, this podcast ministry, to unite in prayer for other parents or guardians of wayward, backslidden, our unsaved sons and daughters. I've said it many, many times, and it bears repeating. I believe that this is the generation that will see the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I firmly believe that we are not in the last days. We're not even in the last hours. I believe we are in the very last seconds, the very last moments of history here on planet Earth. The next event on the prophetic biblical calendar is the rapture of the church. The book of Thessalonians mentions that Christ will return and take up all those who are born again believers. The word of God says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and our Lord Jesus will raise them up. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds in the air to meet the Lord. It sounds incredible, but it is really going to happen. There have been many movies made about it. There was a movie called in the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye, which portrayed the rapture very realistically. This is really going to happen. And those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ and made him our Lord and Savior will be raptured, in Greek, harpazo, taken up. And following the rapture, there'll be a period of time here on earth known as the Great Tribulation, a seven-year period of time when God's judgment will be poured out on an unrepentant and rebellious world. It's going to be a horrible time. The Word of God talks about it, the things that will happen here on earth. We don't want our sons and daughters to go through that. We don't want them to get left behind. Think about it. Your son and daughter, you get raptured, and your son and daughter is left behind. Food shortages, wars, disease, famines, earthquakes, firestorms, all kinds of horrible judgments. The book of Revelation breaks them down and talks about it. We're burdened for our unsaved sons and daughters. We don't want them to get left behind. More than that, we hear in the news about many young people, not just those who are old or elderly or sickly or in the hospital, young people, for no reason at all, dropping dead for a variety of reasons. You know, the Word of God says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. We are living in the very last seconds of history. And when you watch the news, you will see that biblical prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. The Lord Jesus, his return is imminent. We need to live ready, be ready, and pray and fast for our unsaved sons and daughters. Many of you out there have sons and daughters who are in bondage to various strongholds. Some are in bondage to drug addiction, a tremendous stronghold. Some are in bondage to alcoholism. Some are in bondage to Satanism, witchcraft. Maybe they're involved in the occult, or involved in Wicca, or New Age beliefs. Many young people have turned to Eastern religions. Hinduism, Buddhism, Baha'i, different forms of Eastern beliefs. Some of our young people are in bondage to peer pressure. That's right, peer pressure. Going along with the crowd, partying, illicit behavior, sex, alternative lifestyles. There are a variety of things that our young people are in bondage to. Some young people, some of our prodigals are in bondage to hostility and bitterness. Maybe they've seen hypocrisy in the church. And they don't want any part of Christianity or the church. And so they refuse even to consider turning to Christ. Unfortunately, the church many times does not live up to its standards the way it's supposed to be. And unsaved people see that. They see hypocrisy. They become bitter or cynical. Bondage to cynicism. Bondage to bitterness. Bondage to anger. Maybe they've had a bad experience in the church. And they have no desire to go back. But this is larger. This issue is larger than just going to church. Going to church cannot save you. Just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're saved. Any more than living in a garage makes you a car. No. A person needs to admit that they are a sinner, confess their need of a savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, surrender their lives, admit their sinning, and surrender their lives to Christ. Give Christ total control. Tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need salvation. I repent of my sins. Wash me in your blood and save me. That's what our unsaved prodigal sons and daughters need to do. Some of our prodigal unsaved sons and daughters may have been involved in the church. Maybe they were in youth group, and maybe they, when they were younger, they used to attend, and then when they turned maybe 17 or 18, they refused to go anymore. They want to go about their own ways. We've lifted up in prayer several young people. Parents have contacted this ministry to pray for their young people who have turned away from the things of God and are not giving the things of eternity a second thought. It is appointed once unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. Death can come at any time. Their eternal souls are at stake. And so, we need to pray for them and fast for them. We need to be salt and light before them, to witness to them. Now, of course, I don't mean to harass them and badger them, but to gently take every opportunity to show the love of Jesus to our prodigal sons and daughters. Some of our prodigal sons and daughters may not even live at home. They may live apart from us. And we pray that perhaps maybe a co-worker, a friend, a neighbor who is a believer will witness to them. We may ask them to come to church with us, to visit our churches respectively, and they may refuse. Some of us have sons and daughters that are incarcerated in prison or in jail, and we worry about them in those dangerous environments, and we pray for their safety. Hoping and praying that the church, that the facility has a prison ministry. Maybe another inmate who's born again can witness to them. Some of us have prodigal sons and daughters who are in drug rehabs. Again, battling the stronghold of addictions. You know, there are some of us who have sons and daughters who are not saved, and we have no idea where they are. Are they alive? Are they dead? Are they sick? Are they well? Are they out in the street? We don't know. And so we commit them to the Lord's care. We pray for them. Again, the account of the prodigal son, which this ministry is based on. The father didn't know where his son was. Didn't know whether he was alive or dead. Whether he was out in the street or in some place warm. He didn't know who he was hanging out with, living an illicit life. He didn't know what was going on. All he could do was commit his son to the care of the Lord. And continuously, like I've said many times at the end of our podcast, he watched the road for the eventual return of his son. And we don't know how much time passed. The account doesn't tell us. But the son did return. And the father rejoiced. His son was lost, and now he is found. That is our prayer for our unsaved, wayward, backslidden, prodigal sons and daughters. Their eternal souls are at stake. This ministry is all about praying for them. This is a live podcast. We welcome your participation in it. If you're listening on the Podbean app live, we would love to hear from you. Maybe perhaps you want to share a scripture that has spoken to you and encouraged you in your situation. Maybe perhaps you want to share a testimony how the Lord is moving in your life. We've had several parents who have called in this program sharing how the Lord has saved their prodigal sons and daughters. Maybe you'd like to share an insight. Something that you have to share can be an encouragement and a source of strength to somebody who needs to hear it. I know sometimes I get encouraged by what I hear. I'm not always on top. Sometimes the enemy whispers in my ear, as we'll hear in our devotional. I get discouraged sometimes. My son came to Christ several months ago after much prayer and supplication, and I'm discipling him. My daughter has yet to accept Christ as her Lord and Savior. And many times, there have been many times, I'll be honest with you and transparent, I have gotten discouraged. Sometimes our unsaved sons and daughters, when we pray for them, the enemy kicks up their behavior. Their hostility and their anger intensifies. It doesn't seem like they're ever going to accept Christ. But God's promise is true. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord takes no delight in the death of the wicked. He wants your prodigal to get saved. And so, we welcome you to be a live participant in this podcast program. There's a phone icon. If you're listening on the Podbean app, there's a phone icon on the app. All you need to do is click on it, and we will patch you in live to hear what you have to say. I'm not the most technical person in the world. Hopefully, if somebody calls in, I won't disconnect them. But we welcome you to participate in this podcast program. We have listeners in a variety of areas that are tuning in. We have listeners, parents of prodigals. We have them in New York. We welcome listeners in California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North and South Carolina, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Idaho, and Georgia. We welcome parents of prodigals listeners in Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, and Texas, Ohio, Utah, Wisconsin, Virginia, and West Virginia, New Jersey, Montana, Illinois, Minnesota, Louisiana, and New Hampshire. We welcome listeners in Oregon, Washington State, Rhode Island, Indiana, Arizona, Michigan, Iowa, New Mexico. We have listeners in Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, Wyoming, and most recently, the great state of Nebraska. Internationally, we have parents of prodigals who are tuning in Mexico, Canada, Australia, France, Uganda, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Bosnia-Herzegovina, the Philippines, India, Germany, New Zealand, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Japan, Russia, and Ireland. We even have listeners in an unnamed country, which I, again, will not name. When I saw this country on the list of listenership. It's a nation where this type of podcast would never be aired. And becoming a believer is illegal and punishable by imprisonment. And so when I became aware that this particular country, there were listeners tuning in, I consulted with my Parents of Prodigals associates who advised me, don't name the country. The country was only visible to myself and my associates here at Parents of Prodigals. We did not name the country out of concern for the safety of the believers who were tuning in. But if you are believers from this particular country and you are tuning in right now, you know who you are, we know who you are. God bless you, and we pray for your safety and well-being in that particular nation. We're living for Jesus Christ. Is punishable by imprisonment, maybe even by death. God bless all of you who have tuned into this podcast live. Touch and agree with me right now in an opening word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person who is tuning into this podcast. And there are other people who are not tuning in live who may be downloading it later on. Whoever is tuning in live and whoever listens later on, let this program be a blessing, a source of encouragement and edification and comfort to them. Let the word that is spoken during this podcast fall on good ground and bear fruit in the lives of the believers who will be tuning in. Those of us who are parents of unsaved sons and daughters, encourage our hearts to continue to trust in you. Not doubt that you'll bring it to pass, no matter what we see externally. Let your anointing be on my lips as I share this evening's devotional. I pray that you put coals on my lips. If there are any parents of prodigals right now who are discouraged, feeling down, disillusioned, fearful, anxious, worried, let this be a time of deliverance. Now is the time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. The title of tonight's devotional expresses a sentiment that many of us have asked when it comes to the deliverance and salvation of our prodigals. And I use the word ask because it's in the form of a question. The title of our devotional is, How Long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And our scripture text is taken from Psalm 13. And I'll be giving you a moment to find that scripture text in your Bibles. The background of Psalm 13 is found in 1 Samuel chapter 19. King Saul is seeking to kill David. Saul's son Jonathan, who has a close relationship with David, warns him ahead of time of his father's plan and advises David to leave and to hide. With a limitless amount of servants, spies, informants, and an army at his disposal, King Saul has overwhelming resources at his command to pursue, seek, and find Paul. And there's no doubt that even if he were to hide, David felt overwhelmed, helpless, and vulnerable. Facing these overwhelming odds and what seems to be an impossible situation to get out of, David struggles against sinking into despair. He doesn't understand what is happening, why it is happening, how it will turn out, and most of all, where is God? Unless the Lord intervenes, the situation appears hopeless and defeat is certain. And I can tell you right now from firsthand experience that I have been in that situation more times than I can describe when it comes to praying for my prodigals and believing that my prodigal daughter will come back to Christ. And there are many times when the enemy whispers in my ear, it's not going to happen. If it was meant to happen, it would have already occurred. Sometimes my flesh or my natural mind doubts that my daughter's heart and her closed mind will ever turn to the Lord. I can testify truly that at these times, this Psalm, Psalm 13, has renewed my strength and restored my trust. Now let's read our scripture text together, Psalm 13. It's only 6 verses long, and to provide different perspectives, I'll be reading first from the English Standard Version and then from the New Living Translation. First, Psalm 13, the English Standard Version. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And now I'll be reading Psalm 13 from the New Living Translation. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart, every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me. O Lord, my God, restore the sparkle into my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Now, I have absolutely no doubt that many of us have been in this situation, especially often at night when we're trying to rest and we're alone with our thoughts, but the anxiety and concerns that we have for the eternal souls of our prodigal sons and daughters can overwhelm us. But take courage, because the words of this text can dispel all of our fears. In the words of a very popular contemporary Christian song, which I love, hope will arise. In our text, David asks God 5 questions. 1, David asks God how long would God forget about him. The Hebrew word for forget is the word shekash. Shekash. It doesn't just mean to have a lapse in memory about something which could be unintentional. It means to put out of your mind deliberately and with intent. The Hebrew word shakash is made up of 3 Hebrew letters. Shein, meaning breath or front teeth. Kaaf, meaning an opening or to allow to escape. And chet, meaning a wall. In Hebrew grammar, it's in the absolute infinite tense, meaning that the same way breath passes through the teeth as an opening in a wall. David is questioning whether God has easily forgotten him and put his situation out of his mind indefinitely with no hope in sight. The second thing that David asks is, David asks God, how long will he hide his face from him? And that word hide is the Hebrew word sephar. Sephar. It means to purposely conceal. It was the word that was used when one would cover up a path so that a traveler would not know which direction to go in. It means preventing someone from knowing something or something else. And that someone in this case is God's face, or his, in Hebrew, panim, his presence, his attentiveness, and in Hebrew. And that something would be God's plan. God's face is the someone, and God's plan is the something. Both apparently were concealed from David, or so he felt. The third thing that David asked is, he then asked God, how long will God allow him to have daily sorrow in his heart? That word sorrow is the Hebrew word yagon. Yagon. It doesn't just mean to have misery or grief. No, yagon comes from a Semitic root word that was used to describe a horse that had an injured leg that was causing it so much pain that it couldn't function or couldn't go on and should just be put down. David is experiencing so much grief that he doesn't know if he can go on much longer without hearing from God or having any hope, and he would rather just die. The fourth thing that David asks God is, David asks, how long will he take counsel in his own soul? That word counsel being the Hebrew word etzach. Etzach. On the surface, it doesn't just mean to give advice, counsel. The word etzach means to force something, to penetrate something through a narrow and difficult opening. What David is asking God is, how long is he going to be struggling with his anxieties and his worries and trying to figure things out? What is happening? Why it's happening? When it will end? And most of all, again, where is God? And fifth, finally, David asks God, how long will his enemies be allowed to be exalted over him? That word exalted being the Hebrew word ruum, ruum, which in this sense, being in a place of advantage or victory. It's important to note that these questions that David is asking in the Hebrew tense are not accusatory or out of anger, but they're being asked out of sorrow and desperation and despair. God knows our hearts, and he knows when we are weighed down by despair. We cannot hide our feelings from him. In verse 3, David then asks God to consider, to be attentive to his situation and to hear him. David then asks God to enlighten his eyes, and that is in the Hebrew, to oreh. It means more than just to give him a reason to hope. The Hebrew word gives the connotation of having a connection between God and man, divine interaction and intervention that lets a person know that God is there. That's what David wanted to know. Hey God, are you there? Throughout this psalm, David pours out his complaint and asks for divine intervention so that the opposing forces will not gloat about having prevailed over his situation. This word prevailed is an extremely important word in our devotional, especially when we think about how it applies to praying for the deliverance and salvation of our prodigal sons and daughters. That word prevailed is the Hebrew word yachol, yachol. It is the same word that was used in Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 28, when Jacob was engaged in a wrestling match. The Bible says that his opponent could not, yachol, could not overcome him, could not prevail against him. That word yachol also means to have mastery over and be in charge of a situation or circumstances. And that's what the enemy wants you and I to believe with regards to the salvation and deliverance of our prodigal sons and daughters. The enemy wants you and I to believe that God's purposes will not yachol, that they will not prevail, and that God is not in charge of the situation. A complete and total lie from the evil one meant to discourage you and I as we wait for the promise of their salvation to be fulfilled. However, despite all this, David serves as an example by doing three things that definitely lifted my spirits and renewed my hope, as I'm sure it will do for you. One, David resolves to trust in God's love. Two, David resolves to rejoice that God is with him despite what he is feeling and will answer his prayer. Now, that word rejoice being the Hebrew word geil, geil. Similar to the Greek word charis, rejoicing has nothing to do with emotion or feelings, but it's a state of contentment and a state of mind where one is determined to believe that God is in control of the situation and will work everything out. And three, David resolves to remember God's past faithfulness, and he resolves and intends to offer praise. It sounds simple enough, doesn't it? But believe me, it worked for David, it has worked for me multiple times, and it will work for you as well. Now make no mistake, I have asked the same questions and poured out the same complaints to God on many occasions when I have felt that my prodigals would never come to salvation. These last three steps that David took are easier said than done, but the word of God is true and reliable. And so to apply it and demonstrate it, touch and agree and join me in a word of prayer as we exercise our faith for the strength and encouragement in trusting the Lord for the deliverance and salvation of our prodigal sons and daughters. Touch and agree with me right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word that was just spoken, Lord God. And Father, there are many times, I'm sure, when the parents of prodigals that are tuning in right now have wrestled with anxiety, with worry, maybe with depression or anxiousness about the well-being of their unsaved sons and daughters. What are they doing? Who are they with? What are they involved in? Will they ever come to Christ? Lord, I pray for every parent that is tuning in right now, myself included, that you strengthen us, Lord God. The times when we ask, how long, Lord? How long? When is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? Why is it taking so long? When will you accomplish your purposes? When you will fulfill your promises? Lord, you welcomed questions, and you know that we're frail and weak many times. But Lord, during our times when we question, strengthen our faith, encourage us, and help us, despite what we're feeling, Lord God, to place our complete and total trust in you. You have the perfect plan. You know where our prodigals are. You know what they're doing, and you love them. Help us, Lord God, even in our difficult times when the enemy tries to discourage us. Lift us up. Lift our heads, Lord God. Lift my head. Lift the head of every parent and every guardian of a prodigal who's tuning in right now and maybe later on through a podcast download. Encourage, strengthen, support, edify, and grant peace so that we can rejoice in your love and in your salvation. Help us to trust you completely with our prodigals, no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing. And help us to trust you with the process, Lord God. You know what you're doing, and you know what it will take to bring them to the foot of the cross. Strengthen us, Lord God, so we will trust in you and you alone to bring about the promise for the deliverance and salvation of our wayward and backslidden sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, I ask this, Lord God. Amen and amen. At this time, we're going to break into a musical interlude. We play two musical pieces that I pray will encourage you and strengthen you. And these two musical pieces are, well, I'm not going to say performed, but ministered to you by a dear brother named Jerron Wilkins, a member of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church. God has blessed him with the gift of spoken word. And he was on our podcast several months ago and gave his testimony, a powerful testimony that can be listened to on a download on how he was involved in narcotics dealing. He was raised in the church and backslid. And the Lord had to take him full circle until he recommitted his life to you, his life to Christ. And our second number will be sung by a dear sister, India. And they collaborated both on these two musical pieces. Listen and be blessed. The first piece is named Through the Storm. Through the Storm. And the second one is entitled Glory and Honor. So be blessed and be encouraged. And then we shall return with the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Stay tuned. Be blessed and stay tuned.
I ain't seen no way, ain't coming back. I see the clouds, I see that I'm about to be attacked. What's my next move? How am I gonna react? Guess I'm about to take another L. I'm praying as I'm sitting in my cell. I'm praying through the storm that I'm sitting in. I'm praying because His grace is what I'm living in. And I ain't gonna break under pressure. No, no, no. I'm gonna pray through the storm. No, 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 I'm gonna pray through the storm. Yeah, wasn't mine. 12 years, I put in a lot of time. I found out that my daughter wasn't mine. Now I feel like I'm about to lose my mind. Can't sleep, can't eat, can't move or function. I tried to end my own life, I was lunching. But my God showed me I would see some better days. Yeah, I made it through the storm with prayer and some praise. And I ain't gonna break under pressure. No, no, no. I'm gonna pray through the storm. No, I'm gonna pray through the storm. And I ain't gonna break under pressure. No, no, no. I'm gonna pray through the storm. And even when the odds are against me. No, no, no. I'm gonna pray through the storm.
Sake, nah. You can take that off.
Yeah.
1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, yeah.
Give you glory and honor and praise. Even though it's looking like bad weather in my day, I'ma give you glory and honor and praise. Only you are worthy of all of my praise. All of my praise.
I'ma give you all the glory. And I'ma give you all the praise today. I'ma give you all the honor. And do that for the rest of my days, yeah. It's all about you. Let's talk about all of the things that you did for me. And all the males that you turned into wins for me. Got rid of friends that wasn't really too good for me. Gave me a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance. I'm forgiven again. 70 times 7, your mercy endureth. You even cleaned me up when I wasn't the purest. When I wanted to give up, but you gave me endurance. I wasn't really sure, but you gave me assurance. I couldn't pay you back for what you did. You gave me a chance to really start to live. So I'ma live. I give you praise, that's my sacrifice, it's true. Everything I do is just to glorify you. Whether I'm praying for my brother or I'm rapping in the booth, nothing else matters, promise, it's all about
I'ma
you.
I'ma give you glory and honor and praise. Even though it's looking like bad weather in my day, I'ma give you glory and honor and praise. Only you are worthy of all of my praise. All of my praise.
I'ma give you all the glory, all the honor, all my praises. Lift my hands up, never faking. Feel his presence, he's amazing. Yeah, I'ma go hard for what I believe in. Been given power to get rid of spirits and the demons. Bondage is broken, any chains that was holding you pop off. It's true cause of his word, it must happen, my God is not soft. All of the glory, I give it to him. I work his word like I'm inside the gym. All of his praises, I give them to you. You're faithful to me, so I'm faithful to you. All of the glory, I give it to him. Work out his word like I'm inside the gym. All of my praises, I give them to you. Faithful to me, so I'm faithful to you.
I'ma give you glory and honor and praise. Even though it's looking like bad weather in my day, I'ma give you glory. Praise. Ooh.
Hallelujah. Wow. Giving God all the honor and glory and praise. Wow. And the brother also mentioned earlier, in his first number, don't break under pressure. He's going to pray through the storm. Don't break under the pressure of the enemy. Keep praying for your prodigal son and daughter. Don't give up. Don't allow the enemy to tell you, your son and daughter is too difficult. Their hearts are too hardened. Their minds are too closed. They're too far gone. The Lord's arm is not too short that it cannot save. Don't break under pressure. Pray through the storm. And our dear sister India encourages us to give God the honor and the glory and the praise. Wow. We're going to enter into the time of prayer right now without further ado. Now, there's still time to get your prayer request in. You can type in your prayer request and we'll see it on our screen and we'll bring it before the throne of grace. But I want you to touch and agree with me right now. As we pray for these numerous requests, and right now, we're going to touch and agree. There is a dear sister in Christ that is tuning in from the great state of Texas. And her son's name is Curtis. And she has been a part of Parents of Prodigals for a while. And we have been praying. All of us have been praying for Curtis. There was a point in time when he was not saved and going through a difficult time. But God has his own purposes, his own plans. And through a series of events and God's working and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Curtis surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And he is saved. His name is written in the book of life. Texas mom, when you get raptured, look to your right or to your left, because your son may be caught up in the clouds together right next to you when you're sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Look to your right or to your left or across from you. Your son will be sitting either right next to you or across from you. He is saved and he is sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. And this mom just texted through our app that her son is doing well. He is successful. God has blessed him with good employment. He is blessing his walk with him, and he is blessing his vocational life, his personal life. And he is maintaining his victory with the addictions that he was facing. God is moving in this young man's life. So right now, we're going to touch and agree for this praying mom. And then we're going to pray for her son, Curtis. Touch and agree with me right now for this mom in Texas. Heavenly Father, we worship, we praise you. Like our sister India said, we give you all the honor, glory, and praise for a praying mom in Texas who lifted her son up perseveringly, unwavering. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. This mom prayed and did not faint. There may have been times when she has gotten discouraged, but she continued to lift him up in prayer. And Lord, you have your own time and your own way. She trusted you. And your word says that nobody who trusts in you shall be disgraced or put to shame. You fulfilled your promise, Lord God. We thank you and praise you for this godly woman in Texas. And we pray for her continued strength in the Lord, that you bless her walk, that you strengthen her walk. Make her a mighty woman of God. Turn her into an Esther, a Sarah, a Priscilla, Lord God, a Ruth. Transform her mind continuously and her heart. Help her to wield the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Make her a warrior, Lord God. She's already a warrior. Help her to continue. She's already been in basic training, Lord God. Now continue to sharpen her sword. Reinforce her shield, Lord God. Bless her home. Let your anointing be on her. Bless her coming in and going out, Lord God. We lift up her son right now, Curtis. We touch and agree right now. We thank you and we praise you for Curtis's salvation, his deliverance and salvation. His name is written in the book of life. We worship and we praise you, Lord God, that Curtis is saved. He's going to heaven. He's going to get raptured. He'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's born again, sealed with the Holy Spirit. We praise you and thank you for his salvation. Now we ask you, Lord God, that you continue to bless him. We thank you for blessing him with a job. We thank you for blessing him with strength, Lord God. You're helping him with the issues that he was facing and the challenges that he was facing, Lord God. Continue to strengthen this young man, Lord God. The same way we ask you to make Mama Ruth and an Esther and a Priscilla and a Sarah, take Curtis and make him a Gideon, an Abraham, a Paul, a John, a James, a Matthew, a Bartholomew, a Barnabas, a Peter, a Moses, an Enoch, an Elijah. Transform his life, Lord God. Move in his life. Give him a hunger to read your word. Before miracles in his life, give him a strong sense of your presence. If he hasn't found a church yet, Lord God, lead him to a church. Lead him to a fellowship. Bring brothers and sisters in Christ to Curtis's life who will encourage him and strengthen him. Strengthen him against temptation, Lord God. The enemy is out there and wants to tempt Curtis to go back. We pray his strength, Lord God. Put a battalion of angels around him, protecting him, guarding his walk. We lift him up before you, Curtis and his mom. We worship, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you, we exalt you, and we know you'll bring these things to pass. Better things are ahead for Curtis and Texas mom. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and so we pray a hedge of protection, an angelic hedge of protection around Texas mom and Curtis and the entire family. Move in that household in a mighty way. Give them a strong sense of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We have some new requests that came in. I'm going to be reading this request that came in. I'm not going to mention the name because not sure if she wants me to mention her name, but I will say this. Mom is a widow of 5 years. She resides in Australia, and she has two daughters. One is 21 years old, and one is 19. The 21-year-old's name is Lily, and the 19-year-old's name is Ruby. And both of them were brought up in the faith. They were worship leaders at the church. Lily did 3 months of Bible evangelism, and they both did Bible studies to youth. However, just over a year ago, they both chose to leave their faith, and they pursued going out at night to nightclubs and other activities into the world. It's been a difficult several months for this mom who's been crying and praying that both her daughters return to the Lord. Wow. You know, this is no time to backslide. Christ is about to return, and the enemy is desperate. He wants as many people in hell as possible, and so he is desperately luring our prodigals, our sons, back into the world. Let's touch and agree, first of all, for this mom, for her strength in the Lord, and then we're going to pray for these two young ladies. Touch and agree with me right now for this mom in Australia. Lord God, we feel for this mom in Australia, Lord God. It doesn't matter how far she is, Lord God. There are no restraints through time and distance for the Holy Spirit. We lift up this mom before you, Lord God. Comfort her and strengthen her, Lord God. You see what's going on in the lives of her daughters. Heavenly Father, give this mom a strong sense of your presence, Lord God. Encourage her heart. You know what she's going through. Comfort and strengthen her, Lord God. Let her know, hey, you're on the job. Everything's going to be okay. All she needs to do is trust you with her two daughters, Lord God. In her feelings of agony and worry, Lord God, like we read in Psalm 13, anxious thoughts. Calm her anxious heart. Soothe her spirit, Lord God. Heal her mind of any anxiety. Give her the peace that passes all understanding. Give her the assurance, Lord God. Everything's going to be okay. Her daughters are in your hands. So strengthen this mom. Comfort this mom. Help her to continue to pray and to trust you, my God, for their deliverance and salvation to return to you, Lord God. And right now we lift up these two young ladies, Lord God. We lift them up, Lily and Ruby. Heavenly Father, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You came that we may have life and have it abundantly, Lord God. This is no time to go back into the world. Lord God, you see exactly where these two young ladies are at this very moment. You know what they're doing. You know who they're with. You know what they're thinking. You know what they're saying. You know what they're involved with. You know they're coming in and going out. I pray, Lord God, that you do whatever it takes to convict them of their sin, of their waywardness. Convict them of their condition. And turn their minds around to the things of eternity, Lord God. Their eternal souls are at stake. This is a battle, a fight to the death for the eternal souls of our prodigals. The stakes are high. No prisoners will be taken. And so we commit both these two young ladies, Lily and Ruby, to your hands, Lord God. Restore them back, Lord God. Whatever you need to do, bring it to pass, Lord God, so that they see the emptiness of what they've gone back to, Lord God. Bring to their remembrance the joy of salvation. Give them a complete distaste for what they're partaking in now. Give both these young ladies absolutely no rest, no peace in the lives that they're living right now. Weigh them heavy with the conviction of their waywardness. We commit them both into your hands. Protect them, Lord God. The thief comes to steal. He also comes to kill. There's nothing more that the enemy wants than to see these two young ladies in a Christless eternity. Protect them both, Lord God. Restore them back. And again, do whatever is necessary in their lives. If necessary, yes, Lord. Give them both a Damascus Road experience. Their eternal souls are at stake. Deliver and save. We thank you and we praise you. We know you're going to start to work. You're already working now, Lord God. We know we're going to get a praise report. We may not see it. We may not feel it. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we know that it is going to happen. We trust in your unfailing love, and we rejoice in your salvation, like your word says in Psalm 13. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you and we praise you. Amen and amen. We received another prayer request recently. And this request comes in, a mom says that she has a daughter named Margaret. Margaret became saved several years ago and was struggling with an alternative lifestyle most of her teenage life. She is now 20 years of age and she has moved away, and now she is caught up in an ungodly relationship. And we need to pray that the love of Christ saturate her heart. This is a stronghold that we need to pray for and pray against. And so we're going to lift up this mom also for her strength in the Lord. And we're going to pray for this young lady named Margaret. Touch and agree with me right now. for both these women. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we pray for this mom, Lord God, who is, again, also, like Psalm 13 says, Lord, how long? How long, Lord God? Oh Lord, she's probably wondering whether the enemy feels that the enemy's whispering in her ear that he is in charge of this situation. It's not going to change. He's going to prevail. That is a lie from the enemy. We rebuke this lie from the evil one, Lord God. Your purposes will prevail. And we pray that you strengthen the faith of this mom to believe, Lord, you are in charge. Your purposes prevail. You're in control, Lord God, not the enemy. We pray that this mom has strength and courage to go on. Lord, calm the anguish in her soul. It's easier said than done, Lord God, but through the power of your Holy Spirit, strengthen her, encourage her, and comfort her. Where there's a lapse in faith, maybe there's weariness of heart. Lord God, like in the Old Testament, when the arms were growing faint, lift up her arms, Lord God. Support both her arms to remain lifted in prayer and petition and in praise and thanksgiving and in trust in you, Lord God. Give this mom a strong sense of your presence. You're with her right now. And right now, Lord God, we pray for this young lady named Margaret, Lord God, in bondage to a satanic stronghold. Lord, but our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And Lord, I pray that you begin to work in Margaret's heart and in her mind, in her soul, to convict her of the error of her ways in the life that she is living, Lord God. It can't be said any other way, Lord God. Convict her of her sin. Open up her eyes. Turn her away from this lifestyle, Lord God. You've done it before. You've done it for others. You can do it for Margaret. It's difficult to trust when the enemy is whispering in our ear. So we rebuke all attempts of the enemy to discourage this mom. And we rebuke any attempt by the enemy to hang on to Margaret. We plead your blood over Margaret right now. We claim her. We enter the enemy's camp, like Abraham entered the enemy's camp to rescue Lot, and we rescue Margaret from the enemy's clutches. We pull down these strongholds in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. But we know, we believe, we trust, we are assured, and we rejoice that it is going to come to pass. We commit Margaret and her deliverance and salvation into your hands in Jesus' name. We thank you. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you for the answer that we know is coming even now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Every week, as always, we pray for two young men by the name of Joshua. And it's my understanding that these two young men, of course, the Lord is moving in both their lives as they face a variety of issues. There were some addiction issues. Now, we haven't received word as to how they're doing right now. And we don't know the current details, but God knows the details of what's happening. So let's touch and agree right now for these two young men, both the name of Joshua. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for these two young men, both of them with the name of a mighty warrior and a mighty man of God, both of them named Joshua. We pray, Lord, you see the situation that they're in and their circumstances, Lord. If neither of them has accepted you, Lord, we pray for their deliverance and salvation from whatever stronghold is binding them, Lord. And Lord, you see what's going on. You know what their spiritual state is. Maybe one of them did commit their lives to you. We don't know what's going on, Lord God. You know the details. So be in the situation in their lives, Lord God. Move in a mighty way, Lord, so that their eternal souls are saved and that both their names are written in the book of life. If it's salvation that's needed, save. If it's deliverance that's needed, deliver, Lord God. If it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, fill them both, Lord God. If it's strengthening that's needed, strengthen them both. If it's encouragement, then encourage, Lord God. If it's protection, protect them both. But make both of these two young men named Joshua, turn them both into Joshua. Spiritually, Lord God. Bless them both. We want to hear a praise report on these two young men. So, Lord, move in their lives. We commit them both into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Every week we pray for three young ladies by the name of Gabby, Valentina, and Angela. And these three young ladies were facing a variety of issues, ranging from depression to low self-esteem. It's my understanding that one of these young ladies, I believe it's Valentina, most likely has recommitted her life back to Christ. And there were some social media posts of her reading scripture, if I remember correctly. Now, I'm not sure what the situation is with the two other young ladies, Gabby and Angela, but you know what? God knows the details. We don't need to know them. Be nice to know them, but in the event we don't have any information, God knows what's going on. Touch and agree with me right now for these three young ladies, Gabby, Valentina, and Angela. Heavenly Father, you see the lives of these three young ladies, Lord God. The enemy is working overtime on the young to keep them lured back into the world, worldly pleasures and vices and temptations. And so, Lord, we pray that you move in the lives of these three young ladies. Again, convict them of whatever it is that they're doing that's keeping them from you, Lord God. Break down any walls of resistance or hostility or cynicism or bitterness, whatever it is, Lord God, that's keeping them from turning to you and surrendering their lives to you. Bring it down, Lord God. We pray against the forces of darkness that are moving in their lives to blind them. We pray against the spirit of deception, which is deceiving them into believing perhaps they don't need to accept Christ or there's plenty of time. We rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. Give these three young ladies a strong sense. Yes, Lord God. Give them a sense of their mortality and help them to think about their eternity, Lord God. That's because they're young and they may be in good health. That doesn't mean a thing, Lord. The rich young ruler was young and rich and may have been healthy. And so, Lord, we pray for Gabby, Valentina, and Angela that you move in all three of their lives in a mighty way so that their names will be written in the book of life. We commit them into your hands, Lord God. That's all we can do. Help whatever Christian family members are around them to be salt and light. Bring people into their lives that will witness to them and testify to them. Pour out your love in their hearts, Lord God. Let them know that you love them. Give them a sense of emptiness in the lives that they're living right now without you. We commit all three of them into your hands for deliverance and salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young sister by the name of China. China was the adult daughter of my dear brother Jamie and my sister India, whom you heard singing not too long ago. And China, ironically, was caught up in a different lifestyle. And China, could safely be said, was the first fruit of this ministry. We started praying for her first. Sherry's was the first prayer request. And what happened? In his own time and in his own way, China surrendered her life to Jesus Christ, and now she is a woman of God and is being used by the Lord. Touch and agree with me right now, thanking the Lord for China's salvation and praying for her strength. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for our dear sister China, Heavenly Father. Lord, it was a difficult road. It took time, Lord God, but you have your own time of doing things. You have your own way of doing things, Lord God. We were praying for China, and you answered our prayers, my prayers, and the prayers of my dear brother Jamie and sister India, who were praying for her deliverance and salvation. Now, Lord God, we pray that you protect China from the evil one. Satan and his minions, who had attacked China, tried to tempt her to go back into the world, maybe tried to discourage her in her faith, put a hedge of protection all around China, Lord God. Strengthen her relationship with you and her walk with you. Help China to walk in a manner worthy of her calling as a woman of God. Fill her with the knowledge of your will, Lord God. Let her life bear the fruits of the Spirit. Let your word, which she reads on a daily basis, fall on good ground, bearing fruit. Don't let the enemy snatch the word from her heart and her mind with anxiety or pressure or with pleasures, but let your word fall on good ground, strengthening her, blessing her, encouraging her, teaching her, Lord God. Help her to become a woman of the Psalms, praising you and worshiping you. Help her to become a woman of the Proverbs. Help her to grow in wisdom and discernment, Lord God. Make her a warrior like Joshua. Make her a woman of hospitality and service like Priscilla. We commit China into your hands. We cover her, Lord God, under the covering of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus protecting her. Guard her, protect her, shield her. Be all around her, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for the adult son. I have a dear brother named Frank and his wife Rose, and they have an adult son named Edgar. Now Edgar knows the gospel. He knows that you need to get saved. He knows about the rapture, the tribulation, hell, heaven. You'd think after knowing all that, Edgar would have surrendered his life to Christ. But perhaps Edgar thinks he has plenty of time. Maybe he thinks that his parents are saved, so he's okay. He may even think that he's okay the way he is. Maybe he picks up a Bible on occasion or goes to church sometimes. I don't know. All I know is that what I'm told, Edgar has never accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. My son was like that before he got saved. He used to read the Bible and pray, watch Christian programs, but he had never actually surrendered his life to Christ. And through a series of events, my son was led to that point where he had to surrender his life. And now we're going to touch and agree for Edgar right now, that the Lord convict Edgar and that he turn to the Lord. Touch and agree with me right now for Edgar. Heavenly Father, we just lift Edgar up before you, Lord God. We lift him up. We lift him up right now. Let every hindrance that's coming between Edgar's heart and the gospel be melted away by the fire of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let the gospel message penetrate. He may know it mentally. You have to get saved. But let that gospel message penetrate his heart and his soul, Lord God. Convict him of his sin, that he needs to surrender his life to you. Whatever lifestyle he's living, whatever he's doing, he may be trusting in something else or be enjoying something that he's doing or a lifestyle he's living. Toss it all out, Lord God. Give him a distaste for it, Heavenly Father. Convict him of whatever it is he's doing. Remove it out of his life. Purge it away from him, Lord God. That the only thing that Edgar be left with are the issues of eternity. Strip him of everything if necessary, Lord God, until he realizes that the most important thing is having you, Lord Jesus, in his life. We commit his deliverance and salvation into your hands. If the enemy is blinding Edgar or deceiving him, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And we cast it away. We cast away the spirit of deception that's deceiving Edgar, or the spirit of blindness that's helping him not see the truth. We cast it away. Uncover the eyes. Soften the hardened heart. Open the closed mind. Break the stubborn will. But do what needs to be done so that Edgar surrenders his life to you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. If necessary, put a burden in Edgar's heart to come to church, Lord God. Bring people his way, a co-worker, a neighbor, a friend, a stranger, a gospel track, a Christian song, a dream, a vision. Speak to him through the watches of the night if necessary, Lord God. But do what it takes, Lord. Do what it takes. Time is short. We don't want Edgar to get left behind. We don't want him to enter a crisis eternity. Save Edgar's soul. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Matthew. Matthew was facing a variety of issues, emotional, mental, addictive, and legal issues as well. And all these are important to be delivered from, but the most important of all is the deliverance of his soul from the kingdom of darkness. Touch and agree with me right now as we pray for Matthew. Heavenly Father, we just lift Matthew up before you, Lord God. You know his mom is burdened for his deliverance and salvation, who I've been in contact with, Lord God. Heavenly Father, you see where Matthew is right now, Lord God, facing all these issues. Lord, you may be using these issues to lead him to you. I don't know. But you know, Lord God, you know what you're doing. You know what it will take to bring Matthew to the foot of the cross. Lord, remove every desire of the enemy on Matthew's soul. Don't let the enemy's works prosper. Tear down any stronghold that is holding Matthew in bondage right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for his soul. His soul is the most important thing. We want Matthew's name written. You want Matthew's name written in the book of life. So, Lord God, move in Matthew's life. You're already moving right now, Lord God. You may be taking the situation and circumstances that he's going through, the legal issues, the emotional issues, the addictive issues, Lord God. You may be using all these things to break him and to bring him to you. If that's the case, Lord, keep going. But we commit Matthew into your hands, his deliverance and salvation. We worship and we praise you, Lord God. We trust you. We hand him over to you. Help mom not to worry about Matthew. We're not going to worry about him. He's in the best of care in your hands, Lord God. Resolve all these issues that he's going through. But Lord, if you have to, if it's your will, if this is what you got planned, whatever you're doing and it's working, keep doing it, Lord God. We commit Matthew into your hands. His deliverance and salvation are the utmost importance. The stakes are high. The lake of fire is real. We don't want Matthew to end up in the lake of fire. Steer him clear of it, Lord God. Help him to walk on the narrow path. Take him off the wide path that leads to destruction. We commit him into your hands. We praise you and we thank you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to touch and agree right now for two people. One is a dear sister who's tuning in right now, who has been praying for her son. Her son's name is Johnny, and Johnny has been facing a variety of issues. But the most important issue of all is the fact that Johnny's not saved. A person may have issues of drugs or alcohol, peer pressure. All those things may be keeping them from coming to Christ. And so we need to touch and agree for mom right now for her continued perseverance and prayer and strength. And then let's touch and agree for Johnny, for his salvation. Touch and agree with me right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this dear sister in Christ, Lord God, who's been praying for her son and interceding for him. Lord, we pray for her strength, for her encouragement, for her comfort, Lord God. We rebuke the forces of darkness that would whisper in her ear that his purposes are going to prevail. They're not! We pray for her strength as she continues to pray and not faint. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let her request be made known to you, Lord God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep her heart and mind. We quote scripture. We speak the word. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We wield the sword right now on behalf of mom. In the name of Jesus. Right now, we touch and agree for Johnny. You see the issues he's facing. Lord, We rebuke any spirit of spiritual and physical destruction. We pray for Johnny's release right now from the clutches of the evil one in the name of Jesus. Lord, do what's necessary to bring Johnny to the foot of the cross. We bind every spirit of mind blindness in Johnny's life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We claim deliverance and freedom and pull down the strongholds in Johnny's life. Lord, bring people Johnny's way who'll witness to him. Put a burden in Johnny's heart to come to church. If that's what's needed, Lord God. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do. Bring it to pass, Lord. We commit Johnny into your hands. We worship and we praise you, Heavenly Father. Hear all these requests for all these prodigals. Lord God, we don't know what you're going to do, but we know what you're going to do, Lord God. We don't know how you're going to do it or when you're going to do it. That's your business, Heavenly Father. Our job is to hand it over to you and to trust you completely, which is what we're going to do right now, Lord God. We worship, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you. We are just waiting for the testimonies to come in that you have moved as you're moving now. In Jesus' name we pray, thanking you and praising you and worshiping you. We give you thanksgiving, Lord God, and gratitude. Amen and amen. Well, we've come to the end of this edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and I pray that this program was a blessing and an encouragement to you in your life. The next time we'll be on the air will be next Thursday, March 28th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, I have an announcement I want to make to all of you who are tuning in right now. You know, I would never dismiss the works of the enemy. Satan is ever busy. Again, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And there are demonic and satanic forces and minions at work in the lives of our prodigals. But many times our prodigals are facing mental health, emotional, or issues of addiction, maybe depression or low self-esteem. And many of us, as parents of prodigals, need to understand these issues, and we need to be salt and light to them, to our prodigals. But we also need to take practical steps on interacting with our prodigals. With that in mind, I have been in contact with a Christian mental health counselor named Fred Jacoby. And my brother Jacoby is a mental health counselor for a counseling service in Albany, New York. And I've been in contact with him regarding having him as a guest in our program to shed light regarding mental health issues, drug and alcohol, and emotional issues in the lives of our prodigal sons and daughters, to provide godly counsel and feedback. The integration and combining and combination of spiritual and biblical principle with practical application to help us understand our prodigals and some of the issues that they're going through. And so I am working to have him live on the air in one of our podcasts coming up soon. And he'll be taking, in addition to providing information for us, we're going to arrange for him to be on the air live to take live questions from you, the listener, regarding whatever issues and challenges you are facing. That's going to be coming up soon on a subsequent edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I will let you know when this mental health professional will be on our podcast. I've also been in contact with a well-known Christian author, and I'm going to get her name now, but she has been in contact with me regarding several books that she has written. Her name is Lane Lawson Craft, and she is an author and parenting expert, and she has written several pieces regarding the parents' battle plan. It is a testament to the challenges and victories in guiding prodigal children back through faith and love. And she is familiar with our podcast, and she has expressed interest in sharing her insights to all of us regarding being salt and light to our prodigal sons and daughters. Exciting things happening on the Parents of Prodigals podcast. But the most exciting thing of all is to continuously pray and petition and intercede for our unsaved sons and daughters, and to fast for them as well, and be salt and light before them. And so that being said, if you are the parent of an unsaved son and daughter, and you're burdened for their salvation, and you live in New York, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, Idaho, or Georgia, if you're the parent or guardian of an unsaved son or daughter, and you live in Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Montana, Illinois, Minnesota, Louisiana, or New Hampshire, Oregon, or Washington State, if you're the mother or father, the parent or the guardian of an unsaved son or daughter, and you're burdened for their deliverance and salvation, and they're under attack, and they're in bondage to a stronghold, and you live in Iowa, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, Wyoming, Michigan, Nebraska, if you're the parent of an unsaved son or daughter, or the guardian of a young person who is backslidden, or who has never surrendered their life to Christ, and you live in Mexico, Canada, Australia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Tanzania, Ireland, New Zealand, Brazil, England, Germany, Zimbabwe, Japan, or Russia, if you're the parent of an unsaved son or daughter and you live in an unnamed country where being a believer is punishable by imprisonment or death, if you are the mother or father, the parent or guardian of an unsaved, backslidden, wayward son or daughter, and you want their name written in the book of life, you want them to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb, you want them to have eternal life in heaven, you want them to have life abundant, you want them to have the peace that passes all understanding, and most of all, you want them to have the joy of salvation. If you are the parent or guardian of an unsaved backslidden or wayward son and daughter, hear me. Continue in prayer, being watchful therein, and watch the road. Watch the road. Watch the road. Your prodigal will be on it. Until next Thursday, March 28th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is Brother Alan Weir encouraging you, submit your prayer requests. There is still time to submit them. You can submit them on the Podbean app. Or rather, you can submit them on the Parents of Prodigals website, parentsofprodigals.us. There is a tab there. And you can type in your prayer request, and we will see it. We will pray for it throughout the entire week and bring it up during our podcast. So until next Thursday, March 28th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Again, this is Brother Alan Weir on behalf of all of us here at Parents of Prodigals, wishing you a good night, and God bless.